Do you find those after-dinner games between the generations exciting? Here's my favorite, Monopoly. Monopoly on the Truth. To play Monopoly on the Truth, all you need to do is to think that your opinion is better than everyone else's, and you don't even need a playing board, okay?
Okay, Boomer.
Well, actually, it's not okay. Because though Monopoly on the Truth is exciting and agitating and aggravating
and...
Stop!
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Once again, we travel away from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Carbondale, Illinois. And some people call it Carbondale, but they get into trouble. Carbondale, Illinois is the home of Christy Weaver and her daughter, Kenzie. Welcome aboard, Christy and Kenzie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's find out what we do. I know what I'm doing, I think. I'm having a cup of coffee now. Delicious. What you're doing is you work with mental health, and you've seen a few things going on. What kind of a mental health person are you, Christy?
Well, I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor. So I do outpatient therapy, both individual and group therapy. And I see people across the lifespan with pretty much every diagnosis under the sun. So I've seen a little bit of everything in my practice. And it's very interesting and rewarding work. I really enjoy it. And my daughter just finished her bachelor's degree in psychology, and she may or may not also go into the field. She's contemplating her next steps right now as well. So that's kind of where we're at the moment.
I minored in psychology, and I majored in radio and TV. You know, why do you think I minored in psychology?
Psychology is applicable to a lot of different fields, so I think it's a good background to have with any job where you're interacting with other people.
That's the second reason. The first reason is to figure out what the hell I was doing in radio and TV.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I thought you diagnose yourself, Robert, but.
Okay. Now that the neurotic has gotten.
I didn't say it.
Let me start out with the first question. Since you yes. have talked to a wide variety of different people, you're living in a yes. rural area, and one of the reasons for having this podcast is to try to break up tribalism so we can talk to the various generations without a monopoly on the truth. Now, in sure. your practice, you've seen a lot of tribalism within families, you've told me.
Absolutely. And I've seen opposite ends of the spectrum. I've seen a lot of people, particularly in today's political climate in our country, who have turned inward to the family for support because of shared values and perspectives on things. And then I have, on the opposite end of that, seen people who have absolutely cut their family members off over political disagreements, and various other social issues that are going on right now. So I've seen a little bit of both of that. But probably more concerning is the families that are actually disintegrating as a result of political polarization, and rather than, doing helpful things like finding common ground, practicing the virtue of humility and listening to understand, people are just simply labeling their family members as toxic or narcissistic and completely cutting them off. So one thing I'm seeing that happens to be kind of a growing thing in our country is what we call elder orphans, where perhaps an individual has lost their spouse, maybe their siblings are no longer alive, and their adult children have completely cut them off over disagreements related to politics, social issues, lifestyle, et cetera. So I'm seeing a lot of that in my practice. It's really sad, I have to admit. As therapists, we try to be very detached, and just be very objective with our patients. But you can't help have a great deal of empathy for individuals, who are like, I don't know where I went wrong. I was a good mom or I was a good dad, and yet my children don't speak to me anymore because I voted for President Trump or because I don't support their LGBTQ lifestyle. So we see a lot of those kinds of things going on, where there's just a lot of sadness and division in families these days.
Well, I remember back in the 1970s, you might remember this, a program called All in the Family.
Yes, of course.
Okay, with Archie Bunker, he was very conservative, and then Meathead, the actor who just died recently. I had a uncle who was very conservative and said, you know, people really like this program. And I had very liberal people who liked the program. Both people liked the program for different reasons. And I remember in the older days where people of differing political opinions would still be friends. They might argue at times, but they would agree, as we used to say years ago, to disagree. Why do you think this is happening? And do you think it's on the increase?
I definitely think that's on the increase. And by the way, they said that Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, was actually the antithesis of his TV character. You
Yeah, I
know,
heard that.
but I do think that it's a lack of humility. It's a lack of listening to understand and saying, while I don't agree with you, I still love you. You're still an important person to me. People like, and I hate to throw names out there, but Dr. Phil and Oprah are very much preaching this message that if you have a family member or a friend with whom you profoundly disagree on political issues, it's okay to go ahead and just cut them out of your life. You know, anybody that says anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, rather than kind of sitting with that, reflecting on it, you know, and then if nothing else, agreeing to disagree, the solution becomes just cut them off, you know. And I don't really think that that's a healthy response. Now, don't get me wrong. There are absolutely people who have family members who are mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually abusive to their family members. And by all means, I would never say, you know, that you should try to find common ground with abusive people. But when it comes to matters of values and issues you either support or don't support, could we be practicing that virtue of humility more, listening to understand, to find common ground, or to simply say we don't agree on this, but we've got this terrific history together as family members, and let's not throw all of that away over this.
Well, I remember back in the 80s, I was going through flight training, and I befriended a guy who was going through mechanics training to learn how to be an airframe and power plant mechanic. He and I were of extremely different political views, but we were still buddies. We palled around together. We lived in the same we lived in RVs, but we set aside these disagreements because we just looked at each other as humans. And I don't see that happening so much. And as you mentioned to me before, you blame some of this on the media.
I do. I think that networks like CNN and Fox News go a long way to creating a greater divide in our country. Definitely, I think we can attribute a lot of the polarization going on to those networks and other social media outlets as well. And I think the situation that you were just describing is you were able to civilize that relationship with that individual. You know, the goal in having maybe some in-depth conversations with him was not conversion, it was convergence. It was how do we find a way to get along? And that, I think, is the primary thing that seems to be missing a lot these days. But absolutely, social media has gone a long way in creating this greater divide among us. Instead of what brings us, what commonalities do we have as Americans? It's just us versus them all the time now. And Robert, you and I are old enough to remember a time, you know, when our representatives were able to reach across the aisle and make decisions that were guided by what was in the best interest of the American people rather than what was in the best interest of one party or the other. And so we see a lot of that today too, is that the two major parties in our country often act in their own best interests rather than in the best interest of the people. And so again, that's part of that greater division, I think, that's going on as well.
As I remember, and you do, John McCain and Teddy Kennedy, extremes. But they were also
Perfect.
personal friends, personal
Perfect.
friends.
Yes.
Now
Yes.
let's reach the crux of the program. Boomers,
Okay.
the mighty baby boomer, talking to younger generations. You're an X, right?
I'm Gen X. That's right.
Okay. And your daughter is a millennial?
Gen Z. She's Gen Z.
Oh,
I am going to be 22 next month.
you're going to gang up. I'm going to have some more coffee. You're going to gang up on me. You're going to get me. Elder abuse. Okay. As you mentioned, Christy,
Yes.
boomers blame younger generations for having no work ethic, all sorts of problems, bad judgment, etc., as if we had the great judgment when we were rioting and burning down, rioting and closing Southern Illinois University back in
Oh,
1970.
so is this a public confession that you were part of that?
No, I
Probably.
was in Air Force ROTC. I got there after the rioting. But even though I was in Air Force ROTC, we did some dumb things in bars. So everyone was wild, the conservatives and the liberals and everyone in the middle. But what I'm saying is that we boomers were pretty wild back then. And
Pretty anti-establishment. Don't
yeah,
trust
a
anyone.
lot of us. But what I'm saying is that I've seen a lot of boomers blame things, and most of the millennials and Zs I've been around are pretty decent people and they're working hard. But it might be just because I'm selecting that individual type of person. But what do you have to say about that, where the boomers are blaming the other generations?
Well, you hear the word entitlement a lot, that they feel the younger generation is particularly entitled.
Yeah.
And they have an opinion of themselves that they were the kind of they had to pull themselves up by the bootstraps generation. And they feel a lot of times as if they're tougher emotionally, that they didn't have safe spaces or emotional support animals. And so in a way, I do hear a lot of boomers speaking disparagingly of the younger generations in that manner, which I told you, I have a son who's 29 and a daughter who's about to turn 22. So I have a millennial and a Gen Zer. And, I have seen, yes, I've seen a little bit of entitlement, which I think can be attributed to Gen X over-parenting, helicopter parenting, the younger generations, swooping in and saving them from everything to where they don't always have to cope with things or, figure out adversity on their own. So I do think that Gen X needs to take a little bit of responsibility if there is a sense of entitlement among a lot of Gen Z and millennials. I think Gen X did their fair share to contribute to that sense of entitlement that their children were raised with. But overall, I see, these Gen Zers, for example, since Kenzie's sitting here, we'll pick on her. They're
Okay.
very technical. Here we go. They're very technologically savvy. I mean, when I have any issue with this thing right here, she's like, just give it to me, Mom. And she knows exactly what my deal is. Even
Yeah.
today when we're logging into this meeting, she's like, here, and she's da 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 da. So you and I are, of course, dinosaurs, and we grew up with, telephones attached to the wall. Robert's like, speak for yourself, with a cord, and if you wanted your privacy, you hoped it was a long cord that you could, go around the corner into your bedroom with and stuff like that. But these kids grew up with this, and so the way they communicate with each other, they are much more accessible to each other, and the information that's out there is much more accessible to them than it was to us. We had to go to the library, and look things up and all that whole nightmare when we were doing research. So arguably, they've grown up in the world of technology. They know how to use it, and they're a lot better at it than we are. So I see that as a real plus for them. That as we're moving forward and we're using AI and things like this more, they're going to be a tremendous asset in the workforce. They're going to be teaching us what we need to be brought up to speed on. And I also, and
And you know
maybe
what's so funny is we invented all of
no, we did. Yeah, we did.
it.
We did, but we don't know how to use it. So that's the funny
You invented it, we perfected
part.
it.
Oh, did you hear that?
What did
Sorry
you
for the little.
say?
You guys invented it, but we perfected
And you know, you don't drink plain coffee anymore either.
No, she doesn't. No,
No.
we need creamer, sugar, everything. No,
Okay.
anyway.
Okay,
But
thank you,
yeah,
Christy.
sure.
That was
Yes.
now we can get on to your daughter, and the question that I'm
Uh-oh.
going to ask to break the ice, of course, is Have you stopped beating your mother?
Physically, yeah. Mentally, maybe not, but
Well, I was going to ask the next question, but you already answered it. Do you think it's easier for you to use social media than boomers and exes? But I mean, that was a dumb question to ask. I don't know why. Anyway, you have a bachelor's degree in psychology,
yes, and a
and you
double
might
minor
or
in sociology and clinical counseling.
All right. So it sounds to me like you're going to be going into some segment of mental health, but you haven't decided yet.
No. Although
Well,
I like to work with kids preferably, but I'm not sure yet. I'm still exploring the field.
so are you working somewhere or standing by and holding?
I am currently standing by and holding. I just graduated at the beginning of December and I was a 4.0 student, so it was just go, 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 constantly hit the books. I was involved in a lot of
Oh,
extracurriculars.
wow.
I held a lot of leadership positions in clubs on campus. I was in a sorority.
Wow.
So it really drained me. Plus, I graduated a semester early. So doing a double minor and a bachelor's degree in 3.5 years instead of four really took it out of me. So I'm kind of just resting right now, although I have been looking at jobs, but I don't know that any of them really scream, wow, I'd love to do this the rest of my life.
Okay, well, you could always stop. I was a 1 to 2 GPA. I was on academic probation
A
because
true Salupi.
I was a radio and TV major, and then I decided I didn't want to flunk out, so I got on the dean's list, and then the radio and TV department made me a teaching assistant. Now, where could that happen other than at Southern Illinois University? And it was one of the top five broadcasting schools in the country. When I graduated, it went up 1 point, and they all congratulated me for leaving. Okay, so.
But that right there speaks to her personal work ethic. You know,
Right, right.
she absolutely works incredibly hard.
And
And
I'm
I
sure that
go
you
back to that
influenced it.
Yes, I will have to say my mom's my biggest
Okay.
inspiration.
So you're good friends. You get along together. That's good.
$20. Okay, good job. We're good now. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to skip the next question because that's kind of, I was going to ask, do you still suck your thumb? But obviously not. What are your social interactions like? Live and direct or virtual?
Well, at school they were very live and direct, although now it's mostly virtual because I'm back in my hometown and most of my social connections are back at McKendree where I went to school. So I still have a few high school friends here, but now I feel a little bit isolated just reaching out to everybody over the phone.
Now, what school or rather town do you live in? Carbondale?
Yes, I live in Carbondale.
Okay. Now, how can communication between the generations be improved in your view?
Ooh.
And both of you can answer. Yeah.
I think there's a very big problem with seeing eye to eye. It's for me, it feels like sometimes older generations try to pull the, well, we're more knowledgeable, we've been through more stuff, we're right, you always have to put us on the highest pedestal. And while I think that older generations should be praised and treated respectfully, I don't always think you guys are right. But
Fair enough,
sometimes it's hard to
except
get
for
over
me.
those differences. Yes, except for my mom, who's always right.
Well, you said some things I don't particularly want to hear, but we'll let it go this time. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that with my parents' generation. I think what I've seen happen is that we are living the generation we were brought up in, and your generation is different. Just like the World War II generation, any job is a good one. Well, back during the Depression, any job was a good one. But then in the 70s, there were so many jobs out there. So I see that. I think it happens with every generation. But I think it's a lot worse now than it was before. And I think the political climate and social media and even the news media is no longer what it used to be. Okay, this is enjoyable for me, even though you said a few things about my generation I didn't like. Any final thoughts, ladies?
Well, we used the term boomer snobbery, and you indicated that you were going to inquire about that, and you didn't. But
that's because I have a superior memory, which I forgot about.
No, I do think, and I've noticed that my kids have encountered this, and other
Really?
members of the generations. You know, it's a real thing where, you know, they come up against some individuals who perhaps don't have as open thinking as they do about things sometimes. You know, and so again, I think we could go a long way to bridging the gap through that practice of that virtue of humility and working, you know, more on finding common ground with these other generations. They have a lot to offer. You know, we should not, even Gen X as well, not to pick on the baby boomer generation solely, we should not think that, well, you know, because we were parented a certain way that was tougher than what these guys had to go through, that we somehow have some kind of superiority, you know, in the matter because we were pushed outside and told to come home when the street lights went on or whatever. I think you're right, Robert. I think every generation does the best they can with what they know, you know, and when you know better, do better. So obviously now we know that people need more emotional support to maintain good mental health and things like this. And so I think we're making a lot of progress, but oftentimes, I think some of the things we do now that we didn't do then, like hold safe spaces and promote mental health counseling, I think a lot of those things are sometimes looked down upon, you know, as this generation is softer. But I think they're very, very brave, and they're going to be very strong, much stronger and more resilient because of the things that we're doing now. So.
Well, thank you, Christy, and thank you very much, Kenzie. This has been a very interesting interview, and I appreciate it. And how's things going in Carbondale? I lived there for about 4 years, even after I got out of school there.
Well,
it's crazy and weird.
It's still, you can't drive down Main Street without going, what was that, at least once during your car ride.
Okay.
Always something interesting to see in Carbondale, as you know.
Always somebody getting arrested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same stuff, you know, different day. But yeah, it's pretty much the same. Christmas Day, it was 71 degrees here. So we were hiking in the Shawnee Forest. And, you know, it's still the same beautiful, wonderful, magical place it's always been.
Wonderful. And as far as arrests are concerned, mine happened in 1971, underage acceptance, underage drinking. But I won't admit that. That was somebody else. Thank you very much, ladies. It was a real pleasure.
Okay. Good to see you, Robert. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer. Okay, Boomer.